Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I just saw... Have you seen Boston Scott the last time he played... The Giants? Did you see the game he had?
No.
Holy
oh, with God. All the catches?
Yeah, the catches and runs, too.
By the way, no, I just dropped him for my fantasy football team, but I've officially quit on this league. For the first time, I've quit on a fantasy league. I dropped Justin Jefferson after the second week when he wasn't getting targets. I forgot to pick up players. I've been number one in the waiver wire for like 3 weeks. I forgot to pick up Chase. I always forget to get my waivers in, so I've missed out on picking up really good players. And so now I'm just like, okay, well, that's it. Yeah, I lost Saquon Barkley in the first week. I made a terrible decision to take Odell Beckham out of the lineup and put I had Carson Wentz going. I took him out and I put in Greg Ward. That's the game Odell Beckham, like,
he had 38 points.
Yeah.
I did the exact same thing.
I lost that week because of that. I'm just like, okay, forget it. I had Chase Claypool I was going to pick up. I just forgot to submit. I forgot it this week, and I'm like, I'm just not even going to spend another dollar on this. Either this team wins or it loses, period. That's it. It's the worst. But, no, Boston Scott's actually – he's another example of, yeah, you can just find a guy. He's from Louisiana Tech, I remember. He's a pretty good little player. You can find him.
Little fella.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
He's, yeah.
5'7", 203. Like, he's thick now.
Yeah. I'm thinking of starting him over.
Pick him up?
I'm picking him up in my other league.
Yeah, I dropped him for somebody terrible, probably.
Yeah. I might pick him up in our league, too. I'm doing okay in our league, so I'm set. I'm okay. 7378037776. Is Tyler still waiting to talk about the Astros?
It's Kyle, but yeah.
Oh, Kyle. I'm sorry. Kyle, let's get him in here. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, guys. I wanted to know, because I know they get rid of Bradley and Correa, but I wish they would keep Bradley.
Yeah, I don't know what you have to do to keep him. I would imagine offer him a 3-year deal with a lot of money. Why would he not resign? Just that he just doesn't want to live. His family doesn't want to live in Houston, and so he's going to go somewhere else, John. I don't know.
He and George are besties, and the families are really close. And
yeah,
I don't know that they're a package deal, but I think that. I don't know. Maybe something soured him on
package.
Houston. Maybe something soured him all on Houston. I don't know. Well, George,
Let me ask you this, Les. Let me ask you this. Do you think the brain trust over there is really going to bring Verlander back?
No.
Well, he's going to be – no, he's going to be gone next year anyway.
No.
Is his contract up after that, John?
Yes, his contract's done after
next year.
Yeah,
I don't see them bringing back a player that old.
No, you're not bringing – no. Verlander's not coming back.
Let me ask you this. Now, drinking, let me give you something to think about. Who do he remind you of? He remind me of, I can't think of his name, but Glavin.
Maddox.
Yeah, he reminds Greg Maddox.
The reason why, no, it was a pitcher before Glavin for the Braves. I forgot his name.
Not Maddox?
But he do. He can throw fast or throw slow and keep you off balance when you're at the plate.
Steve Avery.
He started before Glavin for the Braves.
I mean, it's not Greg Maddox.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was like, right. I don't know, Steve Bedrosian? I can't think of anyone.
Yeah. Bedrock. Rick Mailer?
Rick Mailer, yeah. Bedrock was, he was a reliever, wasn't he?
Yep.
I'm trying to think of some of the starters, but yeah, I think for sure he's not a Greinke is at the end of the road, but yeah, his pitching style 100% was Greg Maddux. 100% mm-hmm. Hit spots, don't give in. He's got the ability to locate, stays down in the zone, is a cerebral pitcher. I 100% see Zach Greinke and Greg Maddux comparison. Now, he can't throw fast anymore. He doesn't he'll hit 90 every once in a while, but that was the same with Maddux. Maddux didn't throw fast. He's kept you off balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Maddux. No, not him. Maddux. Nope, not him.
What about Greg Maddux?
Greg Maddux. Yeah. That's him.
That's him.
Can we have a segment dedicated solely for fantasy football advice? Yes, we can.
Oh, man, that's not a problem. We can.
Lance gave us an update on his league, so.
Yeah, if you guys need
what, Dell loves that.
Bad advice, I can hook you up. I'm a big underdog this week. I'm a big underdog from projected point standpoint. I'm plus 23 against a team named Kenny Hands Bitch.
Oh, my God. It's the battle of the two worst teams in the league.
Yeah, and I'm a 24-point dog.
Holy crap. I want to play you every week.
You do, 100%. You want to get some of this Amari Cooper and Odell Beckham? You want a piece of that? You want a piece of this Drew Brees?
No, thank you. Did you see Ryan Fitzpatrick? It's funny. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he says his heart hurt all day yesterday.
He was heartbroken, he said.
He was heartbroken. He said, I only one other time if I felt like it was my team. I felt like I was all in. He said this. I felt like I was all in. It's only one other time. I guess he was he with the Jets? But he said there was only one other time that I felt like I was all in, and it was my team, and now I got to sit and watch. That's kind of funny that only one other time was the dude all in. And he's kind of – but didn't he know this? I mean, honestly, this was inevitable, no?
Yeah, it was inevitable. Yeah, I think so. It was going to happen, just probably not after two wins and he's playing real well. And one guy – and he said he was heartbreaking. And some guy from the New York Daily News wrote a whole article about how Ryan Fitzpatrick needs to check his privilege because he's been given lots of privilege to even be in the league still – and he needs to check his privilege right now. Hmm. I'm like, what? He's a quarterback who wants – he's been a good journeyman. And this guy's like, he's not even as good as Tyrod Taylor. It's a total race thing.
And Dell just texted from – I guess his dad took him to the Home Depot. And he's texting. He says, Fitz is crying like a bitch. First of all, Dell, get to work as opposed to being lazy. Secondly – this is his livelihood. This is his life. He's led you guys to the best record you've had ever. Okay.
Well, that's not true. They went undefeated one time.
Yeah, but that was 1972.
Yeah.
The best record that they've had this century.
Yeah.
You're going to just kick him to the curb.
He's probably better than Tua right now. Who cares? Just start playing Tua. It's all right. He can be hard, but I get it. As long as he's still a good mentor for the young rookie. That's all that matters. I get to it. Usually you get replaced when you're not going very well. And they say, okay, let's go to the rookie. You weren't a little surprised that they benched Fitzpatrick after he smashed San Francisco?
No, right. No,
I was a little surprised. That's
no,
the same
I know.
Way I'm sure he was.
Well, but this was inevitable. This was inevitable.
Did he go, wait, excuse me?
Mm-hmm. Adele says, is he still getting paid? Yeah, he's still getting paid. Actually, it's a much better job when you're just sitting there getting paid.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Much better job. Okay? I can tell you as a parent, you feel much better about it. Just sit there. It's a lot more. That's a lot better for us. I don't want you getting killed.
I don't think his parents are thinking that. He's been around a while.
Mm-hmm. No, he has been. But also, he's a statue. Okay? He ain't running. He ain't getting nothing. He ain't running or getting away from people, okay?
Who's a statue? Fitz?
Yeah.
Fitz ain't no statue. That dude is a scrambler.
He's
Rich Gannon with a beard.
No, he runs a couple times a year. He runs a couple times a year. He's going to get killed in the pocket. Jeff Bagwell talked about
he just crushed. He just crushed San Francisco.
Yeah,
what do you mean he's going to get killed?
He's going to get killed. I, you know what? If I'm his parent, his dad, I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Dad, just I think you're projecting your own stuff here.
Just sit there, son.
I don't think this.
He's got nine kids. They care. That's yeah. It ain't his parents that are worried about him. It's his kids.
Rushing Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's run for 2,600 yards in his career and 21 touchdowns.
2,600 over 40 years. I think that's not a lot.
His highest number of rushing yards was 304. I don't remember him playing for Cincinnati. 269, 215 for the Texans. He ran for 184 and two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Fitz can run.
Yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has been a really good career journeyman plus backup. And
yeah. No, he has been.
And below average starter.
Dell says he's crying like a bitch. Okay.
He just had an opinion. He just went, man, I'm heart. How do you feel? I'm heartbroken. I really love this team. I thought this was my team. Shut up. That's all the Dolphins fans say. Shut up and get Tua in here. You're going to see what Tua did at Alabama happen. Like, he ain't got Jerry Jeudy here, kids.
No. And Waddle and everybody else. Uh-huh. No. No.
Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs.
Yeah. No. He ain't got that.
Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, and Miles Gaskin.
Congratulations.
But I understand why they're doing it. He's got a bye week, so they have more time. I think this is just strategically. They've got 2 weeks to get him ready.
Get him ready.
The bye week just happened to come here. Let's do it here. If the bye week was coming in 2 weeks, probably would have been them.
If they were 6-0, they'd probably do this. Maybe not 6-0.
What's their record? 3-3?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. It's in the end. Like I said, it's kind of like Eyes of Texas with the Texas band. I don't care one way or another. Just shut it. Shut down the Texas band. Shut down Fitzpatrick. I don't care.
Jeff Bagwell opened up about being an alcoholic. We'll talk about that on the other side. Right Ooh. Now, though, let's bet. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. You know where I'm going to go? I'm going right now to MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. And you can see all of the odds. Every NFL game, okay? You want to bet on the World Series? You're watching the World Series? You want to bet on PGA? College football, NASCAR, Formula One, Aussie Rules, Grand Final. I didn't even know they were in the Grand Final. Holy crap, I can bet on it. MLS odds, USA Soccer, European Soccer. What doesn't matter? It's eSports. You want to bet on it? You want to bet on chess or darts or volleyball or cricket or cycling or religion? I mean, and then there's special wagers on top of that. What? As if those weren't special enough? Listen. If you're looking for a great way to have fun, bet on anything and everything, mybookie.ag, promo code radio. It doesn't get any better. It's just – and here's the thing. You make that initial deposit, they will match it. And so you have twice as much to play with. Nobody else does this. You can get this done at mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Jeff Bagwell visited, I got to know this, Archway Academy. He's right. The only sober high school in the city.
Wait, what does that mean?
I guess you can't, if you go there, you don't drink? I don't know.
Only sober high school? You mean for people under the age of 21?
Yeah, but you know... Name another sober high school.
Everyone, because kids are under the age and they don't do that.
Yep. So, yeah. So it's the only sober high school in the city. And Jeff spoke at it, and he said, well, I'm Jeff, and I'm an alcoholic. Affliction, whether it's drugs or alcohol, is just a challenge, put it that way. It's the hardest thing I've gone through in my life. To have no control over yourself, where alcohol for me controlled my life. Where from when you wake up in the morning to whenever I went to sleep, it was all about where's my next drink. At times you lose hope. I think you don't realize you don't value your life anymore. I remember looking in the mirror in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning and saying, what are you doing, man? You're killing yourself. And still could not stop. Because for me to get through the day, I had to have drinks. And he hasn't had any since November of 2017. October 17th, 2017.
I think you're lucky Dell's not here.
Why?
Because you reading all those words, he would have cut it, saved it, and it would have sounded like you were making your, I look at myself at 7 in the morning, I'm unable to stop myself, I have these drinks, and Dell would use that like, John, do you remember this time that you made an admission to the entire show?
No, that was reading Jeff Bagwell's words.
But
I don't have a drinking, I have no problem drinking.
Like you could have said that to Chad.
I have no problem whatsoever drinking, so
I do not have a drinking problem. They can't stop you?
Nobody can stop me.
You're not going to be stopped.
No. No, why would I want to? I'm not, okay. Jeff's a quitter. You know what?
No, he's, stop saying that. Stop saying that. You're on the wrong team here.
I'm just telling
I'm going to tell you the truth. So do you remember when Jeff Bagwell was told that he was being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and the cameras found him, and it just wasn't good. I mean, Jeff was kind of slurring his speech, and it was, and frankly, it was just kind of embarrassing. Like, you felt so bad. I heard stories of people who had run into Jeff, and anytime I'd see him on TV or hear him talk, it was like, oh, this is really bad. And I know he had some addictions he was dealing with, and I knew he had quit or whatever, and I had heard he had quit and all that stuff. And I know he had started going out with, I guess he's married to the girl from the Brown Hand Center. Remember that? Daddy's baby girl. So anyway, I see Jeff. This is after he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Was, you know, inducted. And I'm in Riel, and I see Jeff Bagwell. I don't know who else is at the table. And I see his wife. And I send over, and I swear to God, this is, I wasn't thinking. I just said, hey, I want to offer to buy a bottle of champagne for that table and tell Jeff congratulations on making the Hall of Fame. And so he went and asked, and he goes, well, sir, the table doesn't they said they're not drinking, but a dessert would be great. So I sent a dessert over there. He came over, and his wife came over to say thank you after the meal was over. And I'm telling you, John, he was the most lucent I've heard lucid. Him in years. Not lucent, not like a light, lucid. Yeah. He was lucent and lucid. So he was the most lucid, clear-headed. It was like talking to Jeff Bagwell back in the day. He was regular Jeff Bagwell. And he goes, hey, I want to thank you for that. That was great, blah, blah, blah. And the people with us, I don't know that they fully understood what a big deal. Like, I was so excited to hear Jeff like that. His wife was awesome talking to her. He was very kind and but my main thing was he was sober. He was very sober. You could tell that Jeff was on top of it. And then when I've heard him on TV ever since then, when he's done things, he's been on top of it. I'm very, very happy because, you know, John, behind the scenes, we've known about this with Jeff Bagwell for quite some time.
Yep.
And I think anyone who came in contact with him knew, like, it just wasn't a secret because it was so obvious. And for Jeff to admit this publicly and for Jeff to be on the right path, man, it just really made me happy because I've never heard anyone say a bad thing about him. Never heard anyone say, other than he had issues and demons and he was having a hard time beating.
But a lot of people were worried about him. I was at an LSU bowl game. I forget which bowl game it was, but his buddy was there. And I asked, where's Bags? And he was like, he's in rehab, man. And this is 10 years ago or so. So he's been trying to do this. And now that it's sticking is awesome because there were a lot of people that were worried. I know a lot of people in the Astros organization, you know, they were there on a daily basis and they were like, man, Bags is in a bad way. He's in bad shape. So And then, you know, I go, I play golf a lot at where he played, and you know, he was always out there and playing and drinking, you know, on a daily basis. And they had a big game going and everything else. But, you know, that's just good, clean fun when you're playing golf and having some
yeah, drinks, so. Yeah. Only Jeff can't do that now either.
No, Jeff can't do that now either. But he can go and play golf and have fun and take people's money now. Probably taking more money now that he's
that's
sober. It's a good investment.
Yeah, that's
it's a
true.
solid investment for him.
Yeah, sure, no problem. I agree with that.
Yeah. So I'm really that is really really good news because he was in some trouble. Bags was in some trouble because I mean there were some broadcasts I think that but Bags was.
And, oh yeah, you know, whole, early on there, yeah, no question.
The whole incident behind home plate with his
now with wife, his, I think.
Yeah, now wife, where, you know, the whole putting his hand over her breast thing and yeah. all of that stuff was all attributed to alcohol. Alcohol gets the blame for everything.
Yeah, okay? Have you noticed that, John? Does that make you upset?
Yes, it makes me upset. Yes, it makes me upset. I mean, hey, how about we blame something on, I don't know, on patience, and how about we blame something on I don't know.
I'm waiting. Promise. Yeah, you can't come up with it, can you?
I can't come up with anything. Let's blame some stuff. I mean, like, drugs and alcohol are such a bad thing. Whatever. Okay? Let's move on to other stuff.
You just did a whole thing on how Bagwell's so much better now because he's not drinking anymore. Didn't that resonate at all?
No.
He can take people's money better in golf. Doesn't that resonate at all with you?
That is one thing. But okay. See, but you don't get invited. You don't get to play golf unless you're drinking with your boys. So
that sounds like peer pressure, John. If Chad Clay jumped off a cliff,
no, Chad doesn't play golf and drink. Chad doesn't play much golf. That's not the Chad group.
Oh, your other guy. Okay.
It's the other guys. And here's the thing: is I can't blame him. Why would you want to be around people that are playing golf?
Do you want to be around people drinking when you're on Lent and you're not drinking?
People, they don't invite me when it's Lent. I don't
so
get invited.
They don't
literally.
Invite you unless
I
you're
literally
drinking?
Do not get invited. No, nope.
This is literally a. Can't you do something with outrage culture? Can't you turn people against those guys, like on
no.
Twitter or something?
I'm all for. I'm with them. I don't want to be around me during Lent either.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem right that people won't invite you to golf if, like, you have to drink to golf.
Why doesn't that seem right?
Well, it's, you shouldn't
to me, it makes
be forced
sense.
Into it.
Who wants people around that are going to play golf and not drink?
Oh, boy. I just don't think the Jeff Bagwell path is for you.
Well, I don't. Yeah,
you're not as bad as Bags.
No.
Bags was pretty bad.
Yeah. Childish Altuve. Bags stopped drinking in October 2017. I increased my drinking in November 2017 significantly. well, because of the Astros.
When did Bags it was either December of 18 or December of 17 where I saw Bagwell.
Uh-huh.
Right around Christmas time is when I saw him. So October of 17. Yeah, that makes some sense. You remember when Bags used to crack it open with some of the players, Osmus or whatever, where, you know, they have drinks in the locker room afterwards. You think that's where it kind of started?
Oh, I think it started before that.
Yeah.
That was a nightly thing. They'd break out the vodka and have drinks and sit and watch games and just hang out. That doesn't happen anymore. That doesn't happen. But it used to be a regular thing in the locker rooms where guys – I told you. I remember Moises Alou going – he's got bottles. They're going on a road trip. And everybody's got their bags sitting in front of their locker rooms that the equipment guys pick up. And he's putting different bottles in rookies' bags and saying, hey, rookie, you're carrying this and you're carrying this and you're carrying this bottle for the road trip. Because after the game, they would go probably in the locker room or back to the hotel and they would sit and watch games and sit around and just drink afterwards.
Wow.
And yeah, it absolutely absolutely happened. I bet you all the time. And you know, then you start to get that's your life. That's how you are, and that's your life. And Jeff has been able to, I guess, overcome it. I don't know what I want to call it.
Well, I think he has.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he has. And him talking about it publicly is great. So I'm really happy for him. There was a time I just thought it was going to be pretty rough, but I'm really happy for him. Like I said, everybody says great things about him. the person, and I'm glad he's gotten it back, him back together.
When you finish your fantasy football segment, can you guys do a segment where you talk about what you'll eat for Thanksgiving? I'll hang up and listen. Yeah.
I'm not doing turkey. I'm done with turkey. Turkey's not good enough for any other month, then it ain't hitting my plate in Thanksgiving.
You don't eat turkey outside of Thanksgiving?
No. Who goes and buys a big ass turkey? Oh, I mean like a shaved turkey. Oh, like a sandwich.
You have turkey sandwiches?
That's different. That's not the same as
what are you talking about? It's the same
thing.
That's
not putting it in the oven with all that stuff. Why don't you put a big ass turkey in the oven May?
I just might.
Because
it's too hot to put a turkey in the oven.
Where are you
going to
find that big ass turkey? At the store? No.
Yeah.
No one even carries big turkeys in any other time but November.
The Mount Rushmore of side dishes coming up after the Babe of the Day segment. 928 ESPN 97.5. Stay with us.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Is Dell at Home Depot about to get shipped overseas? Apparently he's listening. He says he can still save that stuff, but he won't. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I was reading Jeff Bagwell. I was heartfelt reading Jeff Bagwell's words. There was a tear in my eye, and you guys are going to try to use it against me and try to be funny boys, okay? There's nothing funny about sobriety and how wonderful it is, okay? So let's stop. Let's stop with the jokes.
Yeah.
You guys got jokes, huh?
Okay. This is actually not a joke I'm about to tell you. It's real. Somebody just sent this to me. It was from September. It never hit my radar. I don't think you and Delt probably talked about it. You know, we were talking about University of Texas and maybe the band just shuts down for this year or whatever. Did you hear about the Columbia University marching band? Did you guys ever see this story or talk about it?
Nope.
Okay, so the Columbia University Marching Band in September dissolved itself after more than 100 years. The move came after anonymous social media users made allegations of racism against unnamed band members. And in this letter it said, trigger warning, and explained that 20 members met on September 12th to discuss anonymous social media postings that accused individual marching band members of sexual misconduct, assault, theft, racism, and injury to individuals at the Columbia community as a whole. It went on to say the band then unanimously decided that it would, quote, dissolve itself and would no longer, quote, no longer serve as a Columbia spirit group. With this, quote unquote, with this decision, the current band attempts to take responsibility both for the harm directly caused by present band members and for injuries which occurred at other times in the band's history. It goes on to say, let's see. The marching band says that its club structure was founded on the basis of racism, cultural oppression, misogyny, and sexual harassment. And they're hoping that this dissolution will provide relief to the present suffering of the Columbia community and time to heal from the decades of harm caused by the band. So.
Wow. So, this was rampant for decades?
So here's this one, too. We also do not tolerate any racist, sexist, transphobic, or otherwise harmful behavior. And we absolutely do not condone personal theft, which I don't know what that even regards. What? Okay, we fully apologize for any pain or injury the band has caused, and we are working to atone for this pain. So I just want you to know that the band apparently has been hurting people at Columbia. They've been a hurtful organization and for decades, and now by dissolving the band, hopefully the community can heal and the people who have been hurt over the years can heal from their wanton acts of racism, misogyny,
and stealing and theft.
Theft.
What kind of theft is going on? Things.
What kind of band members do you have at? I mean, that sound like a gang. That doesn't say. Hold up, these sound like charges. Hold up, this is a band?
Now, this is an Ivy League school.
Yeah.
And Jackie asked, what kind of wussy university lets the band nerds run roughshod over the campus?
No, like, I want to know what the band did to people where they were legitimately some, like, the band was just,
sounds the, like band the band
was,
is
was a, creating was, a culture of fear on the campus. Like, oh, my God. Band's out. Hurry up. Get in a room. Get in your room. Get in your dorm. Lock everything up. Band's just running through dorms stealing stuff.
The band sounds like, man, you want to talk about a good time. I mean,
what's up, ho? What's up, ho? Why is that guy from band calling me a ho? Yelling at me from across the quad.
That is too funny. I love
get
that
band.
Get
your trick ass over here.
What were they
Why
stealing?
Why is he calling me a trick ass? What you got what in your pockets? Empty your pockets. God, I'm getting jacked.
I mean,
by the
as initiation,
again.
Did you have to go to the local Walmart and just steal stuff?
What if you got jacked by a band member? Hey, I like those shoes. Oh, thanks, Todd. No, I really like them. What size are they? 11s? That's just my size. Take them off. I knew the band was going to get my shoes at some point. Come off with those shoes. Let's go. Let me see your cell phone, too. Yep. Give it up. Here, hold your face still. I'm going to unlock this and change the passcode.
Unbelievable. I'm looking at revolutionary practice technique from Adam Gase and the Jets. Sam Darnold is kind of with the football, bent over, touching the ground with one hand and the football in the other. And Joe Flacco is kind of almost touching him, almost trying to hit the ball out. Unbelievable, revolutionary practice technique. Adam Gase, this looks like it's like a bad like high school drill. Not even high school, like a just terrible. I got somebody at the door. Can you do the show, Lance?
Yeah, no problem.
I got somebody knocking at the door.
By the way, the letter from the band says the Columbia University Marching Band apologizes for insult and injury victims have experienced as a result of actions perpetrated in its name. The band has maintained a club structure founded on the basis of racism, cultural oppression, misogyny, and sexual harassment. While sustained efforts have been made in recent years towards undoing decades of wrongdoing, we as a band feel ultimately it's impossible to reform. The band understands that for many, the damage experienced at the hands of the Columbia University Marching Band may be irreparable, and the band will not be asking for or expecting any forgiveness. The current band, yeah. Did you hear this, John? The band understands for many, the damage experienced at the hands of the band may be irreparable, and the band will not ask for or be expecting any forgiveness. The current band hopes that the band's dissolution will provide relief to the present suffering of the Columbia community and a time to heal for the decades of harm caused by this organization. We also hope that the band's disbandment can create a space that allows for the formation of a new spirit group that will provide a safe and inclusive outlet for students to play music at Columbia. The band will release a
I don't know who has a worse culture, them or that cheerleading culture from that. Didn't they, like, just cancel some cheerleading program at, like, Kentucky or something like that?
Oh, yeah. The Kentucky one was pretty bad.
Because they were pretty much verbally abusive, just like they were.
Yeah, but this is – the band sounds like they're just beating ass. It sounds like they were running roughshod.
Yeah,
these sound like the Animals. Who do you think was more dangerous, your gang in Chicago, the Animals, or the Columbia University marching band? I can tell you who looks more dangerous on paper, them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Animals.
These are decades of pain that they've inflicted on other people. It says it right here. They're not even asking. Look, insult and injury. That could be physical injury. The victims have experienced as a result of the actions perpetrated in its name. This is a band that was based on – it was created and based on – racism, cultural oppression, misogyny, sexual harassment. Like, that's who they were as a group for decades.
Well, and now they're dissolving it, wussies.
Yeah, they're coming back to something better, it sounds like.
What? With something better? It's not going to be nearly as much fun for the band members.
Well, maybe we get some band members in here who aren't running roughshod all over the whole university, treating it like their own personal. I mean, it sounds like some episode of what was the movie that Johnny Depp did, where he's like, forget about it. He was the undercover cop.
Oh, yeah.
Donnie Brasco. It sounds like Donnie Brasco, where they're coming in. They got to, you know, they're expected to bring in scores, and the guys come in with the parking meter and trying to bust it open for coins. That sounds like some big episode of, I go out there and I need you guys to bring me something back. Like, is it the guy who's the band leader? What's that guy called? Just band leader? Is he the one that was forcing these people, this Columbia gang, to run roughshod over the campus and injure and maim and steal? Theft was mentioned, by the way.
Was he the don of the campus, the band leader?
Member was terrifying people for decades.
You know, like the cheerleaders at A&M, what are they called?
Yell leaders.
The yell leaders they run Texas A&M University. Is that what was the Columbia band leader, their don? And he was, you know, he ran the whole, they come in, kiss his ring. And then, you know, on Saturday afternoons, they would go out and they would, you know, do their band stuff for the football game. And then afterwards, they just own the campus.
That's what it sounds like. It's like, all right, let's go get drunk. And then they get hammered, and once the band got hammered, everyone's like, I'm getting out of here. They're going to tear this bar up again.
The band is going to just destroy us.
Hey, we want a round of shots, and it's on his tab. Like, oh, hey, guys, yeah, put it on my tab. And then I'd like to close out, please. Random people are being forced to close out. Hey, and also bring us some cheese fries also on his tab. Yeah, do some cheese fries for them too, and then close me out, please. My mom and dad are going to be very pissed when they get this credit card bill.
Wow. So this band was checking people like Snacks checked Lance. Wow.
No, he didn't check me. He just farted in the room while he was walking out.
No. No. When he's crop dusting in your bedroom, okay,
trouble.
He was checking you. Are you kidding me?
And I told him yesterday, he goes, no, Dell didn't say that. I said, Dell said I should hold you down and fart directly on you to check your privilege.
Yeah,
I'm going to check
Nick,
his privilege.
You didn't hear. Apparently, a couple days ago, Snacks, Lance's son, how old is he now, 12, 13?
He's not 12, yeah. He's 12. Yeah.
He's walking through Lance's bedroom just farting.
He just goes, hurr, hurr, like every step of, hurr, 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 hurr. And I said, hey. What? I said, what are you doing, Snacks? He goes, it was an accident. I said, that's not an accident. He goes, I can't stop myself. I said, Snacks, I bet at school if you did that, you would stop yourself so you wouldn't embarrass yourself. He goes, one time I did it, and it was loud, and the teacher looked up, and I looked at the girl in front of me and go, oh, wow, that was terrible. Like, you can't blame it on some girl in class,
you can.
Although
no,
that
yes,
is
you can.
The move. Yeah, that
that's
is
move.
Probably the move.
Or the dog. 943, ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble. And granted, if you're looking for a guy that's going to fix it up, that's what he does. He fixes it up. Now, not just, you know, oh, I got a couple of bricks or a couple of tiles in my bathroom that I need fixing. No. How about putting in entire vanities and toilets and putting in entire showers for you and putting in entire of the fireplaces and all of the tile or all of the brick and granite and everything, countertops, everything that you could possibly need that's hard, okay? Granite, tile, marble, everything, and beautiful. I'm going to tell you what. You want to talk about marble fixing up a place, making a place look richer, making your home more valuable? It's what Jeff Aronoff does every single day. So if you're looking for a great way to add value to that home, because if you don't, your home or your business, if you don't, guess what? Go ahead, try to sell it and see after 10, 15, 20 years in the same place and you're not upgrading, you're not adding, you're not making it a nicer place to live, you lose the value of your home. You do. You just do. And there's nothing that you can do about it. But you can make it that much nicer and add the value to your home by calling Jeff Aronoff. Let them come and do that outdoor patio, outdoor kitchen, outdoor pool. You're doing all the tile around your pool. He'll do that as well. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Deshaun, Randall said there was a conversation after practice about trade discussions. Were you a part of that conversation? And how do you handle something like that as a leader of this team when you hear about guys maybe in trade discussions or changing teams or the team making a trade? How do you handle something like that?
Them boys ain't getting traded. That was something that we squashed at the end of practice. It wasn't too big of a deal. So I know a lot of people probably thinking that Randall was saying he was getting traded. He's not going anywhere. Nobody's going anywhere. We're going to stick with this team and keep pushing forward. So all that stuff is just kind of something that we wanted to squash because it was a lot of noise. And, you know, people, of course, see it on social media. So he just basically squashed it and letting everyone know to just focus on ball and focus on this team.
There's Deshaun showing some leadership there. I like it. Deshaun, I don't know if he called the meeting or what, but there was speculation. There was Instagram posts. There was likes on Instagram, all kinds of stuff about trades and whatnot. And Deshaun just said, you know. Now, the question is it the right decision to not trade? And if in fact Deshaun is right, if in fact Deshaun is sitting down with the executive vice president of football operations, Jack Easterby, and he is, you know, they're talking about strategy as far as a roster strategy, then, you know, I think it's a good move because there is nobody. Romeo can't speak to all this.
Right.
I mean, he's not in on personnel decisions right now. He's just, you know what, Romeo, just try to make a better decision on when you're up seven. Or maybe that was the right decision because their defense is so bad. But is it the right decision, Lance, to not trade anyone when you're 1-5 and looking, staring at 1-6 right now?
Well, I mean, you know, to me, I don't know. I just don't know. Even if you wanted to, I don't know that it's possible really to trade a lot of these guys. I don't think they want to trade J.J. Watt. I don't. That's the guy that probably has the best value. And even that, you know, I'm not sure what that would be. So to me, I don't know if I trust Jack Easterby to make any trades anymore. I mean, look what Bill O'Brien did. They were so bad when Jack Easterby was right there with them. Jack Easterby has learned from Bill O'Brien. Do you really want Bill O'Brien part two making moves?
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry, Jack. You just can't touch the controller. It's just something bad's going to happen.
You know, I hate that you can't make any moves to better your football organization because you're so worried about the guy with his hands on the button, his finger on the button. I mean, are you kidding me? That's how bad it is.
Is it?
I mean, I felt that way with Bill O'Brien. You just had to tell him you can't make another move. That's it. No, 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 no. But I mean, you don't have. What about Bazargan or whatever his name is?
Bazargan, yeah, Matt Bazargan.
Bazargan.
I don't know. If I knew for sure he was doing it.
Well,
and he and James Lipford
be doing it
said,
since
okay,
he's a personnel
taking,
guy.
Well, if he and Lipford were taking care of everything, then that'd be fine.
Well,
I don't know that they are.
No, I mean, listen, somebody's got to make a call over there and say, I thought we were streamlined, Lance. This is the way we're supposed to run an organization where everybody has a voice.
Nope.
And we're streamlined, okay?
Well, it doesn't matter. There's no GM right now. Although, truth be told, I would consider moving J.J. Watt for whatever you can get. You know who'd love it more than anybody? Dell. Because that'd help an already terrible offense. You know what? It would also give J.J. a chance to go to a team that can contend for this year and next year. The Green Bay Packers, for example. Would the Green Bay Packers consider a guy like J.J. Watt where he gets to go home? Would San Francisco consider a J.J. Watt? Would Baltimore consider a J.J. Watt?
Yeah, they'd be dumb if they didn't.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of these teams who would consider it if any of them have an additional draft pick. Like, how about you give us one of our second rounder back, Miami? We'll give you J.J. Miami, and, you know, he can help you go 8-8 or whatever.
What about our first rounder back?
That's not coming back. That's gone.
Well, it's not going to be that great a pick.
They won't give you a second either.
No, because that'll be
J.J. Watt doesn't have as much value to the Dolphins as Kenny Stills had for the Texans.
Wow.
The Texans gave up a 2 for Stills. The Dolphins would never give up a 2 for J.J.
That is unbelievable.
That's how bad they were. And you want that guy pulling a trigger on a bunch of moves?
No,
thanks.
Bill O'Brien, and he just went, nobody wants B.D. Watt. He's not broke. Stop saying Dell. Dell, just get to work. You know what? Get to the Home Depot and get deported or whatever your dad's going to do. Okay?
Deport him. He's an American citizen.
He's probably going to get deported by his dad.
He can't. That was his brother who he sent off to Nigeria. Right. Dell's locked in.
No. Hopefully, Dell's dad says, you know what? This was a good idea once. It's a good idea again.
Well, I guess we just have to see how this goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at how well that worked out last time. Let me see if it'll work again this time with Dell. Okay?
Look how good that worked out last time.
Look how much money I saved.
Oh, my gosh.
Huh? Yeah. Hopefully, he'll deport him. So, anyway, don't call him BD, Broke D, Watt. He ain't. He's got a lot of cash, pal, okay? A lot of cash that he collected from people, Harvey. But so here's the deal is, don't, Lance, you can't look at it that way. You have to think like, okay, we can make this a more attractive place for a GM, for a head coach, by picking up. Right now is the time you got to do it. Let's do something smart. Let's trade away a player and get some draft picks in here.
Okay.
You can't look at it like we're so terrible at this we can't ever do anything again.
Okay. How's that going to work?
What do you mean?
So you just tell me who does it.
The surgeon.
You think Jack is not going to do it?
No.
Why not?
No, because Jack is too busy right now trying to find a general manager.
Okay.
Yeah. And telling Deshaun about all the personnel moves that aren't being made.
I mean, do realize that there's an actual search firm doing that, right? It's not actually Jack Easterby.
Yeah, did you hear? Well, who was it that said, you know, Jed Hughes just says, oh, you did you hear?
I told you that. I was told by, I don't know this guy, Jed Hughes, and I was told by a potential GM candidate, do you know Jed Hughes? I said, no. He goes, okay, well, what I know about Jack Easterby and, you know, what I can gather just listening to him and things I've heard about it, he said, he and Jed Hughes are pretty much polar opposites. And he said, I just wonder if Jed Hughes is going to want Jack Easterby involved in this process or if he goes straight to the owner on this one. I was like, I don't know. I mean, I just know Jack Easterby was able to, you know, according to Albert Breer / Bill O'Brien, he was able to get Bill O'Brien out of there. So we just assume he's got a lot of juice. That's all I know. Yep. I do. I'm assuming you do. We just assume the guy's got a lot of juice.
Well, we know he's got a lot of juice.
Yeah.
No, we know it. He was a mate in all of those decisions, those bad decisions by Bill O'Brien. He played a role. He either convincing or when they sat down and you know how they streamlined where Bill O'Brien, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. This is what we're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But Jack was there every step of the way going, yeah, sounds good, Bill. Yeah, let's do that. Hey, we got to do this, Cal.
Who put sugar in my iced tea? Who did this? Who did this? It's just the catering. We'll just get you an unsweetened tea. It's not a big deal. God bless. Why are you screaming at people?
Well, Jack Easterby was there on Bill's side every step of the way, and he was and guess what?
What?
And guess what? He's just as complicit in all of those acts.
Yeah, I know.
In all those moves.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
So that's what I'm saying. You want him making trades.
No, I want Besurgin doing it.
Bazergan. He's not going to. He's not going to let him. He's not going to let him.
My mama called him Besurgin. I'm going to call him Besurgin.
So, and once again, who are all these guys? People are going crazy with some of the stuff I've seen. Like, you can deal Randall Cobb for nobody. Nobody's going to want him for that price you put on him. Brandon Cooks, you can't get a – there's no reason to trade Brandon Cooks. You need a wide receiver. You got to keep him. You gave up a second for him. You've got to make this work for a while. You can't just flip him and just kill off your two. He needs to be a productive receiver. You know, frankly, you need Will Fuller, but that's the guy that might have a little bit of value as a deep threat maybe, but like for what? Maybe a fifth? You don't even know if he's going to sign with you. So I just don't even know who has the value for the Houston Texans. You want a player off this horrific defense? I mean, J.J.'s the only guy. All this trade, they're not trading anybody. No one's
Roby's
getting traded.
Roby's got some value.
Who?
Roby.
Yeah, Roby does, but you need
corners. But then you have zero.
You got to keep guys who can play. You can't just get rid of those guys. I mean, we're not the Royals in 2000, in early 2000s.
Well, we kind of are.
We're not the A's just selling off anything and everything possible. That's not what this is. You actually need more corners. It's like you have a glut at cornerback.
No, we kind of are the Royals. We kind of are.
Well, we kind of are, but don't aspire to that.
But you know what I want to aspire to? And I know what? We just did the Jeff Bagwell thing, but I'm going to stay with the way I do things. Yeah. And I'm going to do it with Coors Light. I'm going to do it with cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. I'm going to do it with the world's most refreshing beer. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it because it's the official beer of just about everything that I do. It's the official beer of golf. I told you, why would you want to play golf without beer? Well, it's the official beer of golf. It's the official beer of watching sports. It's the official beer of hanging out with your buddies. It's the official beer of watching games. It's the official beer of just about everything we do. So if you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, refreshing, and you know what? Just pop open a Coors Light and Texas chill, baby. That's right, Texas chill. The Blue Mountains, they're here for you, and they are chill. You can pick up 12 ounces of chill. You can pick up 16 ounces of chill. You can pick up 144 ounces. That's a 12-pack, baby, of Texas chill. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.